ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद द सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकशिपु टेक्स्ट 23 एंड 24। श्री प्रहलाद उवाच श्रवणं कीर्तनं विष्णो स्मरणं पादसेवनं अर्चनं वंदनं दास्यं सख्यं आत्मनिवेदनं इति पुंसार्पिता विष्णो भक्तिश्चेन्नवलक्षणा क्रियेत भगवतिद्धा तन्मन्नेधीतमुत्तमम्। श्री प्रहलाद महाराज सेड, हियरिंग एंड चैंटिंग अबाउट द ट्रांसेंडेंटल होली नेम फॉर्म क्वालिटीज पैराफर्नेलिया एंड पास टाइम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु रिमेंबरिंग देम सर्विंग द लोटस फीट ऑफ द लॉर्ड ऑफरिंग द लॉर्ड रिस्पेक्टफुल वर्शिप with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto Him. In other words, serving Him with the body, mind, and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. So today we are covering Prabhupada's purport and explanation on Archanam, the 5th process of the 9 processes. Please bear with me, the purport is just slightly long. After Pada Sevanam comes the process of Archanam, worship of the deity. If one is interested in the process of Archanam, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. There are many books for Archan, especially Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for Archana, deity worship. There are 2 systems of Archana, the Bhagavata system and the Pancharatriki system. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship because in this Kali Yuga, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply through hearing, chanting, remembering and worship of the lotus feet of the Lord. Rupa Goswami states, Shri Vishnu Shravane Parikshet Abhavad Vaya Sakhi Kirtane Prahladah Smarane Tadangri Bhajane Lakshmi Prithu Pujane Akruras त्वभिवंदने कपिपतिर दास्यथ सख्यर्जुने सर्वस्वात्म निवेदने बलेरभूत कृष्णाप्तिर एशाम परम। परीक्षित महाराज अटेन सल्वेशन सिंपली बाय हियरिंग। सुखदेव गोस्वामी अटेन सल्वेशन सिंपली बाय प्लीज chanting. Prahlad Maharaj attained salvation by remembering the Lord. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, attained perfection by worshipping the Lord's lotus feet. Prithu Maharaj attains salvation by worshipping the deity of the Lord. Akrura attains salvation by offering prayers. Hanuman by rendering service. Arjun by establishing friendship with the Lord. And Bali Maharaj by offering everything in the service of the Lord. All these great devotees serve the Lord according to a particular process. But every one of them attained salvation and became eligible to return home back to Godhead. This is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is therefore recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of Narada Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple. Especially for householder devotees who are opulent in material possessions, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. An opulent householder devotee who does not engage his hard-earned money in the service of the Lord is called a miser. So, generally a miser is someone who does not utilize the human form of life for self-realization. Prabhupada is giving another definition of miser here, according to context. One should engage paid brahmanas to worship the deity. I'm sorry. One should not engage paid brahmanas to worship the deity. If one does not personally worship the deity, but engages paid servants instead, he is considered lazy and his worship of the deity is called artificial. An opulent householder can collect luxurious paraphernalia for deity worship, and consequently, for householder devotees, the worship of the deity is compulsory. In our Krishna consciousness movement, there are brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. But the deity worship in the temple should be performed, especially by the householders. The brahmacharis can go with the sannyasis to preach, and the vanaprasthas should prepare themselves for the next status of renounced life, sannyas. Grihastha devotees, however, are generally engaged in material activities, and therefore, if they do not take to deity worship, their falling down is positively assured. Deity worship means following the rules and regulations precisely. That will keep one steady in devotional service. Generally, householders have children, and then the wives of the householders should be engaged in caring for the children, just as women acting as teachers care for the children in a nursery school. Grihastha devotees must adopt the Archana Vidhi, or deity worship, according to the suitable arrangements and directions given by the spiritual master. Regarding those, please pay attention to this particular line, as the rest of the purport obviously. Regarding those unable to take to the deity worship in the temple, there is the following statement in the Agni Puran. Any householder devotee circumstantially unable to worship the deity must at least see the deity worship, and in this way he may achieve success also. The special purpose of deity worship is to keep oneself always pure and clean. Grihastha devotees should be actual examples of cleanliness. Somewhere one devotee was saying that in Kali Yuga, brahmacharis will be known by the level of uncleanliness. I do not have any source for this statement, but just remember, because Prabhupada says, Grihastha devotees should be actual examples of cleanliness. Deity worship should be continued along with hearing and chanting. Therefore, every mantra is preceded by the word Namaha. In all the mantras, there are specific potences. I was recently talking to a devotee, and he said, Prabhuji, there is specific potency in this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It has the special mercy of Nidra Devi. And specifically, the Shakti of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is amazing, especially during the Brahma Muhurta. It institutes the whole magnitude, the complete potency of the sleep deity on the particular participant. So Prabhupada says, in all the mantras there are specific potencies. So although this devotee is saying something in a humorous mood, actually these mantras have such potencies. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that simply the word Hare or Rama, separated by any other word in between, just Ra and there is some other word and Ma, still has a potency to give one liberation. So Prabhupada is specifically saying here that in Kali Yuga, in this age, one must support, not just support, but give the foundational strength to any other processes of the nine mentioned here by hearing and chanting. There are many mantras preceded by the word Namaha. Sorry. In all the mantras there are specific potencies of which the grahastha devotees must take advantage. There are many mantras preceded by the word Namaha, but if one chants the holy name of the Lord, he receives the result of chanting Namaha many times. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, one can reach the platform of love of Godhead. One might ask, then what is the necessity of being initiated? The answer is that, even though the chanting of the holy name is sufficient to enable one to progress in spiritual life to the standard of love of Godhead, one is nonetheless susceptible to contamination because of possessing a material body. Consequently, special stress is given to the Archana Vidhi. Just to explain this particular aspect, many times devotees feel, when they are inquired or maybe they are asked by people, that supposing we just chant the names of the Lord, is there any need to be initiated? Specifically, being initiated by a spiritual master who can directly give us instructions in Vapu form, in his present form. So Prabhupada here is saying that the holy name in itself is sufficient. There is no doubt about it. The problem is, we have a material body. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj would give this example. He said, one of his disciples had a problem with retaining food. Whatever he would eat, it would immediately be evacuated from his body. So he advised him, drink pure ghee, some specific amount. And the result was that as soon as he drank the ghee, he passed it out. Having sufficient faith in his spiritual master, he continued for a few days. And the result was that still he was passing out ghee as much as he was drinking. So he went and inquired from his spiritual master. Somebody else inquired from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said that his condition is very bad. He cannot retain anything in his stomach. His stomach is not capable. It is very irritable. But the nature of ghee is that wherever it goes, it sticks. Something sticks. So as he goes on drinking this ghee continuously, it will stick to the inner linings of the stomach. And ghee has a quality of giving a lot of energy. So that can be absorbed. And slowly the stomach wall will again redevelop. And he can get back his strength, his energy. And he can digest food. And which happened. It took some time, but it did happen. So the example is given just on the other, towards the other extreme. We can use the same example. The material body, its nature is some contamination of stick. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, again and again, we find the reference that unless and until one is personally receiving the mercy of the Lord in the touch, by His touch, by His glance, the last tinges of material desire still remain. Every devotee, be it Narada, be it Dhruv, Maharaj, seeing the symptoms, they are very pure. But then they receive the final touch of the Lord, the instruction or the glance or the darshan. Narada Muni received the darshan. Dhruva Maharaj was touched by the conch shell. And the verse will explain, this removes the final vestiges of material contamination. And why is that? Because the material body is there. The nature of the material body is asat. It is the quality of the material body. The only thing that we can do with the material body is spiritualize it. And only in exceptional cases does the Lord, by specific intervention, allow a devotee with his self-same body to enter into the spiritual planet. Generally the case is, this outer casing has to be given away. It has to be discarded into the Mahat. It has to be given away into the 24 elements. And those final attachments, the little fabric that keeps the material contamination unto the pure spirit soul, that can only be removed by the final mercy of the Lord. So here Prabhupada is saying, he is somehow or the other linking it to Archana Vidhi, because Archana Vidhi can be performed only by initiation. That means accepting a spiritual master. And the process of Diksha and the process of accepting a spiritual master means one has been given the facility of cutting off these final vestiges. One is given the facility of being free from material contamination, which is not possible otherwise. And therefore Prabhupada says here, he stresses this point, somehow he brings this point, that one has to be initiated into the process of hearing and chanting by a spiritual master. So, one should therefore regularly take advantage of both the Bhagavata process and the Pancharitriki process. Deity worship has two divisions, namely, pure and mixed with fruitive activities. For one who is steady, deity worship is compulsory. Observing the various types of festivals. Please again pay attention. Prabhupada says, for one who is steady, asthita pragya, deity worship is compulsory. I know sometimes I have heard that deity worship is for neophytes. This statement is also there. Maybe sometimes it is mentioned. Here Prabhupada in this purport is saying, for one who is steady, deity worship is compulsory. And Srila Prabhupada always gives an explanation to his statements. And therefore he says, observing the various festivals like Shri Janamashtami, Rama Navami, and Narsingha Chaturdashi is also included in the process of deity worship. In other words, it is compulsory for household devotees to observe these festivals. And now there are two pages of something which is very interesting, at the same time overlooked. Now let us discuss the offenses in deity worship. The following are offenses. A. To enter the temple with shoes or being carried on a palanquin, a palaki. B. Not to observe the prescribed festivals. C. To avoid offering obeisances in front of the deity. D. To offer prayers in an unclean state, not having washed one's hands after eating. E. To offer obeisances with one hand. F. to circumambulate directly in front of the deity, G, to spread one's legs before the deity, H, to sit before the deity while holding one's ankles with one hands, I, to lie before the deity, J, to eat before the deity, K, to speak lies before the deity, L, to address someone loudly before the deity. I'll take a break here. If one follows this 6, 7, 8, or it's still I, so I'm a little weak with numericals. It is perfect pranayam. If you follow this sitting posture, no as holding feet with ankles, or holding the ankles with your hands, if you observe this, this gives the benefit, the added benefit of what devotees have otherwise to engage in. Pranayam or asana or yoga asanas for maintaining posture, health, backbone, pain in the back, lower back, all this, if one can follow this, which is considered to be, here is saying, offenses. L, to address someone loudly before the deity. M, to talk nonsense before the deity. N, to cry before the deity. O, to argue before the deity. P, to chastise someone before the deity. Q, to show someone favor before the deity. R, to use harsh words before the deity. If one can follow these rules, this is my interpretation, please forgive me. There's no need to become a moni Baba in the Himalayas. One automatically achieves control over the vak kriya, speech. S, to wear a woolen blanket before the deity. T, to blaspheme someone before the deity. U, to worship someone else before the deity. V, to use vulgar language before the deity. W, to pass air before the deity. X, to avoid very opulent worship of the deity even though one is able to perform it. Y, to eat something not offered to the deity. Z, to avoid offering fresh fruits to the deity according to the season. Double A, to offer food to the deity which has already been used or from which has been first given to others. In other words, food should not be distributed to anyone else until it has been offered to the deity. Double B, to sit with one's back toward the deity. Double C, to offer obeisances to someone else in front of the deity. Double D, not to chant proper prayers when offering obeisances to the spiritual master. Double E, to praise oneself before the deity. And double F, to blaspheme the demigods. In the worship of the deity, these 32 offenses should be avoided. In the Varaha Puran, the following offenses are mentioned. A, to eat in the house of a rich man. B, to enter the deity's room in the dark. C, to worship the deity without following the regulative principles. D, to enter a temple without vibrating any sound. E, to collect food that has been seen by a dog. F, to break silence while offering worship to the deity. G, to go to the toilet during the time of worshipping the deity. H, to offer incense without offering flowers. I, to worship the deity with forbidden flowers. J, to begin worship without having washed one's teeth. K, to begin worship after sex. L, to touch a lamp, dead body. To touch a lamp, dead body or woman during her menstrual period, or to put on red or bluish clothing, unwashed clothing, the clothing of others, or soiled clothing. Other offenses are to worship the deity after seeing a dead body, to pass air before the deity, to show anger before the deity, and to worship the deity just after returning from a crematorium. After eating, one should not worship the deity until one has digested his food, nor should one touch the deity or engage in any deity worship after eating safflower oil or hing. These are also offenses. In other places, please bear with me also. I am also getting tired reading all this. But it is important. In other places, the following offenses are listed. A, to be against the scriptural injunctions of the Vedic literature or to disrespect within one heart the Srimad Bhagavatam while externally falsely accepting its principles. B, to introduce different shastras. C, to chew pan and betel before the deity. D, to keep flowers from for worship. I'll just take a break here. I just remembered something from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. This offense, to be against the scripture injunctions of the Vedic literature or to disrespect within one's heart the Srimad Bhagavatam while externally falsely accepting its principles. Sometimes it's so difficult to understand when a person is externally performing so well the different rituals of devotional service, but internally lacks faith. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, two extreme examples have been given. One is of the brother of one of the devotees who was very close to Lord Chaitanya. The pastime is a little hazy, but I think it is Bhagavan Acharya, and he had a very scholarly brother in Kashi, Varanasi. And this brother happened to come to Jagannath Puri, and he wrote a poem praising Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya, comparing the two. And his poem was so beautiful, it has such alliterations within it, that the entire community of devotees was impressed. And it was suggested that the poem be shown to Lord Chaitanya. Because whenever something very, very creative and shastrically good, shastrically perfect was offered to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya would accept it and praise it as if he had hundreds of mouths. It was always done by Lord Chaitanya. So devotees felt that this brother of Bhagavan Acharya, someone can correct me if it's someone else, but I think it is Bhagavan Acharya. His brother had performed such wonderful service. He had praised Lord Chaitanya so beautifully. And correlated Lord Chaitanya with Lord Jagannath. That it should be offered to Lord Chaitanya. He should read it. There was a system, if anything had to be offered in the form of literature or poetry to Lord Chaitanya for his perusal, it had to first be scrutinizingly seen by his personal secretary, Sarup Damodar Goswami. So Damodar Goswami, when he read that, he immediately rejected it. He became very angry. He found the mistake within, wherein it was said that Lord Chaitanya is like the soul and Lord Jagannath is like the body. And he said, this is Mayavad. This is wrong. And many remarks were then expressed by devotees. It is, if it had gone to Lord Chaitanya, it would be so offensive. And we never realized it. We thought he has composed such a wonderful poem. So this is one instance. Another instance was of one devotee who accompanied Raghunath Bhatt Goswami from when he was on his journey from Varanasi to Puri to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, his father was very dear to Lord Chaitanya, the son of Tapana Mishra, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. And when Lord Chaitanya got to Varanasi, he had specifically expressed to Raghunath as a young boy that you serve your parents, and when their time is up, when they go back home, back to Godhead, you come and stay with me at Jagannath Puri. So in time, by Lord Chaitanya's arrangement, both of them went back to Golok, both the parents. And they encouraged their son that he should go and dedicate his life. Before passing, they encouraged Raghunath Bhatt. So Raghunath Bhatt was walking down to Jagannath Puri. On the way, he met a very, very advanced devotee of Lord Ram. This person was so much addicted to chanting the name of Lord Ram, constantly. His tongue would not stop. And Raghunath Bhatt Goswami felt so much attracted to him. He wanted to stay with him. He wanted to just be with him. And the whole community had named him Ramadas Vipra. That Brahmana, that learned Brahmana, who is such a servant of Lord Ram that he cannot stop chanting Lord Ram's name. When he heard, when Ramdas Vipra heard that Raghunath Bhatta was going to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya, it was his ardent desire that someday he could also go and visit the Lord. He knew Lord Chaitanya had appeared. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew it perfectly well. So he said, please, can I come with you? I will carry your baggage. But please let me come with you. And this devotee was so humble, so much engrossed in chanting the names of Lord Ram. Raghunath Bhatta could not refuse. Both of them, in wonderful association of each other, they walked down to Jagannath Puri, entered the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, crossed over the bridge of Tharanala, passed Narendra Sarovar, went past the temple of Lord Jagannath, Simhadwar, and straight went to Gundicha, the residence of Kashi Mishra, where one room was offered to Lord Chaitanya for his stay. And this was a practice with the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, that as soon as they would enter Jagannath Puri, first they would go and have darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And Swarup Damodar Goswami asked Gopinath Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya, why is this? There's Lord Jagannath in temple and devotees are coming. So Gopinath Acharya said, the devotees feel unqualified to have the darshan of Lord Jagannath without the association of Lord Chaitanya. First of all, would like to go and seek his shelter, get his blessings and his association, come and take the darshan of Lord Jagannath. So Raghunath Bhatt immediately went along with Ramdas Vipra, and they went to Gundicha, the inner quarters of where Lord Chaitanya spent almost 16 years of his life, his manifested stay here every day. And Bhatta Goswami offered him obeisances, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Lord Chaitanya called him near and embraced him and praised him and just washed his entire body with his tears of love. He called Govinda and said, make arrangements for him, give him prasad. And completely ignored Ramdas Vipra. Totally ignored him. So this was noticed by all the devotees. So Nityanand Prabhu, whenever there is something that devotees can't understand, they always ask Nityanand Prabhu, because you know he is the only person who can approach Lord Chaitanya and ask him their doubts. So they asked him, this devotee, Lord, you have hardly noticed him. Forget hardly noticing, you've completely ignored him. Why is that? And Lord Chaitanya revealed. Within his heart, he has intense desire to become one with Lord Ram, to merge with Lord Ram. So, something related, to be against the scriptural injunctions of the Vedic literature or to disrespect within one's heart the Srimad Bhagavatam while externally falsely accepting its principles is an offense in Archana Paddhati. The other offenses are to keep flowers for worship on the leaf of a castor oil plant, to worship the deity in the afternoon, to sit on the altar or to sit on the floor to worship the deity without a seat, to touch the deity with the left hand while bathing the deity, to worship the deity with a stale or used flower, to spit while worshipping the deity, to advertise one's glory while worshipping the deity, to apply tilak to one's forehead in a curved way, to enter the temple without having washed one's feet, to offer the deity food cooked by an uninitiated person, to worship the deity and offer bhoga to the deity within the vision of an uninitiated person or non-Vaishnav, to offer worship to the deity without worshipping Vaikuntha deities like Ganesh, to worship the deity while perspiring. I would just like to again read. So please carefully pay attention to the words that are being mentioned here. To offer worship to the deity without worshipping, it is said, Vaikuntha deities like Ganesh. To worship the deity while perspiring, to refuse flowers offered to the deity, to take a vow or oath in the holy name of the Lord. Bhagwan ki kasam. In Hindi, this phrase is used. So, it is mentioned, it's an offense to take a vow or oath in the holy name of the Lord. If one commits any one of the above offenses, now this paragraph gives a prayasht. One must read at least one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This is confirmed in the Skanda Puran Avanti Khand. Similarly, there is another injunction stating that one who reads the 1000 names of Vishnu can be released from all offenses. In the same Skanda Puran, Reva Khand, it is said that one who recites prayers to Tulsi or sows a Tulsi seed is also freed from all offenses. Similarly, one who worships the Shaligram Shila can also be relieved of offenses. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that one who worships Lord Vishnu, whose four hands bear a conch shell, disc, lotus flower and club, can be relieved from the above offenses. In the Adi Varaha Purana, it is said that a worshipper who has committed offenses may fast for one day at a holy place known as Shaukarava and then bathe in the Ganges. In the process of worshipping the deity, it is sometimes enjoined that one worship the deity within the mind. In the Padma Purana Uttarakhand, it is said, all persons can generally worship within the mind. The Gautamiya Tantra states, for a sannyasi who has no home, worship of the deity within the mind is recommended. In the Narad Pancharatra, it is stated by Lord Narayan that worship of deity within the mind is called Manas Puja. One can also become free from the four miseries by this method. Sometimes worship from the mind can be independently executed. According to the instruction of Avirhutra Muni, one of the Nav Yogendras as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, one may worship the deity by chanting all the mantras. Eight kinds of deities are mentioned in the Shastra and the mental deity is one of them. In this regard, the following description is given in the Brahma Vaivarta Puran. In the city of Pratishthanpur, long ago, there resided a Brahmana who was poverty stricken, but innocent and not dissatisfied. One day he heard a discourse in an assembly of Brahmanas concerning how to worship the deity in the temple. In that meeting, he also heard that the deity may be worshipped within the mind. After this incident, the Brahmana, having bathed in the Godavari river, began mentally worshipping the deity. He would wash the temple within his mind, and then in his imagination, he would bring water from all the sacred rivers in golden and silver water pots. He collected all kinds of valuable paraphernalia for worship, and he worshipped the deity very gorgeously, beginning from bathing the deity and ending with offering aarti. Thus he felt great happiness. One devotee was very intelligent. He said, Prabhuji, I offer Manas Puja to the deity. After all this worldly paraphernalia that I have, it is insignificant. It is, what can I offer 10,000 rupees? In my mind, I offer millions of rupees unto the deity. So I told him this story about the man who wanted to sell his buffalo, his bullock actually. But his bullock was not getting sold. So he made a promise to the deity. If the bullock gets sold for so much and so much rupees, he was in need of money, he wanted to get his daughter married or something, so he needed 50,000 odd rupees. So he said, if my bullock gets sold for 50,000 rupees, I will offer you half the amount. The very next day, he received an offer. A customer came. So customer asked him, how much is the bullock for? He said, 50,000 rupees. He said, all right, done. The man was shocked. The deal is done. And then he remembered that he has to offer 25,000 to the deity. So he said, I'm sorry, sir. The bullock is only for 1 rupee. He said, what? He said, yeah, only 1 rupee. Man thought this person is crazy. He said, before he changes his mind, let me make the deal. So he got some witnesses, some paper, and he started writing out the deal. The bullock is being sold to me for 1 rupee. He had the witnesses' signature there, sign. And before it could be done, the man, the person who was selling his bullock, he said, but there is a slight condition, conditions apply. If you want to buy the bullock, you have to buy the rope that ties the bullock to the hook, keeps it tied up. Man said, okay, I'll throw in a few cents, few paisas, and it will cover the cost of the rope. He said, no, the rope costs 50,000 and 1 rupee. So man thought, this is crazy. Anyways, the whole deal is worth 50,000 and 1 rupees. Let me get it before he again changes his mind. He could never understand what was happening. So the man sold the bullock for 1 rupee and he sold the rope for 50,000 and 1 rupees. Then he went to the temple of the Lord and offered him 50 paisa. What do you think happened after that? I don't know, but you can guess. So anyways, there are injunctions and there are also loopholes. We should not be like a advocate when we deal with the Lord, finding out loopholes to justify our weaknesses. So again, let me finish off this purport of Srila Prabhupada. So he would, thus he felt great happiness. After many years had passed in this way, one day within his mind he cooked nice sweet rice with ghee to worship the deity. He placed the sweet rice on a golden dish and offered it to Lord Krishna. But he felt that sweet rice was very hot and therefore he touched it with his finger. He immediately felt that his finger had been burnt by the hot sweet rice and thus he began to lament. While the Brahmana was in pain, Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha began smiling and the goddess of fortune inquired from the Lord why he was smiling. Lord Vishnu then ordered his associates to bring the Brahmana to Vaikuntha. Thus the Brahmana attained the liberation of Samipya, the facility of living near the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have to dedicate this class to the devotee who has made arrangements that I can give this class today. I am very thankful to him. Because I read this part and somehow or the other by Krishna's arrangement, I preach in a place, in another place also, which is very close to Pratishthanpur. Just 40 kilometers from Pratishthanpur on the banks of the Godavari. And sometimes all the devotees, we go there, have wonderful darshan of Ganga Mai in the form of Godavari. There's nothing to commemorate this particular pastime. But there's another temple of Lord Vitthal there. And I think I should narrate that pastime because it is about Lord, deity worship. This deity of Vitthal, if those who know about Lord Vitthal, his Dwarkadhish, who came from Dwarka to visit his devotee Pundalik in Pandharpur. And when he came in his form as Gopal. So it's some achinta bheda bheda tattva going on here in this pastime. But the ultimate conclusion of the pastime is that Lord Krishna, he stood with his both hands, fists, close, clenched fists on his hip, on either side, on his hips, waiting for Pundalik to come and meet him. All over the world, in the entire universe, this is the form in which Lord Vitthal is worshipped. But in this particular place of Pratishthanpur, now which is known as Paithan, Lord Vitthal has his left hand on his hip and his right hand, his straight right palm, and is trying to hide it behind his dhoti. Like that. So one interpretation is here Lord Vitthal is offering his blessings. But the pastime is that there was this saint for whom the deity came from South India. Someone was trying to carve a deity of the goddess and what manifested was Lord Vitthal. Then he came in a dream and said, transport me to Pratishthanpur. There is a devotee of mine, a saint there. So then Vitthal came in this form with his hands on his hip. And the saint did not know how to worship him. He was wondering what to offer to him. So Vitthal appeared to him and said, that offer me, I am Gopal. I like to eat butter. So every day offer me butter. So they would place a small, in Maharashtra it is known as vati, a bowl, a small bowl of butter, makhan and misri, butter and candy sugar. And after the pujari would put in and go away, Lord Vitthal would lift up the small bowl and with his fingers like this, if you've seen children eating from a small bowl, this is how they eat. They use their four fingers, except the thumb, to take out the ingredient from the bowl and then they lick it. So this is what Vitthal was doing for many days. One day someone happened to interrupt him and as he was interrupted, he somehow or the other licked off everything from his hands. The mouth retained some tidbits of, and his hands, it was still greasy. To hide it from the pujari or anyone who interrupted it, he tried to keep his hand behind his dhoti. And that is how the deity has remained till today. This is also the deity in Pratishthanpur. It is 40 kilometers from the headquarters of Aurangzeb in the town called as Aurangabad. Maybe someday devotees can visit. It is a nice tirtha. So thus ends the purport to Archana. And now I would seek the blessings of Bhaktidhir Damodar Maharaj. Because the purport is now getting over and I need to speak. Maharaj, please, with your blessings, I can speak. Thank you. So we'll declare the Srimad Bhagavatam class closed. Thank you very much. Any questions? It's time. This is a long purport to Archanam. Before I conclude, just to support the way the class has gone on, this purport has been done and no explanation. Prabhupada, as usual, devotees have many incidences from Prabhupada's life to support everything that is bona fide. So, once Prabhupada, once book distributor came to him and Prabhupada was speaking to him, Srila Prabhupada was hearing how he did book distribution. And then he made a comment. He said, what will your 10 minutes of speaking do? Or 1 hour of speaking do? Just give him a book. And his life will change. And that is a practical demonstration today. We have received the book of Srila Prabhupada, his words, in this entire class. What would my speaking of 30 or 35 minutes or 1 hour do? So with that, I would like to end the class today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Tai Gaura Premanande. Any comments, Maharaj? Okay. Thank you.